What is Krishna? Who is Krishna? Who is Radhika? What is pain? Rosh. All different. You know? They are called Jnani. They are not Jnani. They are Jnani, what I explained before. And those who are bhakta, they have knowledge of Krishna. They know all purpose. But some degrees of pure bhakti. There is some degree. And for example, we can tell Prahlad Maharaj. He is Mahabharat in Uttama Bhakti, Uttam Bhakta also. Like him, Bhishma Dev, Sanat Sanandan Sanat Kumar, and also in first life, Sukhdev Goswami. They are Jnani Bhakta, not Jnani. So, we are explaining today the Bhakti of Prahlad Maharaj. How was it very? And Prahlad Bhakta. If you want to be Bhakta, you must follow. How humble, how pure, how tolerant, tolerable. Tolerance was he. First of all, you have to be giving all your desire for sense gratification other than bhakti. Your bhakti should not be covered by jnana and karma and other things. And some service, spontaneous service, by body, mind, bhav, with chesta. Endeavor of all the senses and moved out of Rati and intuition. They have some knowledge, tattva-jnana. That is why they are called jnani. Prahlad Maharaj of extraordinary intelligence, very humble. But his father, he has a goal from Brahma that I should not die in air.
Not in Patal Lok, not in heavenly planet, but day or night.
Not in Patal Lok planet. Not in this earth. Not any weapon, no man created by Brahma, no animals, no birds, no snakes and others. I should not die in a month, in a year, out of house and in the house. Not by any weapon. And thus he had a bone. That he has become like immortal. But his son, very humble, as I told. He has four children, sons, among Prahlad Maharaj's, a smallest, younger son, very intelligent, very tall. He was sent to a school of Vrindavan. And Amat Mane Bhur and Amat Mane Darkness. Those who can be like bulls and always in darkness of Tattva Jnana, they are Sandhavaka. One day Prahlad Maharaj came from his school. His mother decorated her, decorated him, and she took Prahlad Maharaj in the lap of Hiranyakashipu father. Oh, father saw that very beautiful and humble son, and he became happy. And he kissed, and then, my dear son, I want to know that what technique you have been taught by your guru. Okay?
What you have learned
from the teacher. And then Prahlad Maharaj Pastor. Yes, you. Is it safe for audience? You can come
from the corner, sir.
Yes. From where did you send it? Send it to us.
Father.
You are
father? No. Oh, boy. You like?
No.
Careful. Om Jnana Siddhanta Jnana Salataya Chakshur Nilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
So Hiranyakashipu asked his son, what is the best thing that you have learned? Please tell me. And Sri Prahlada, addressing his father as, O best of the asuras, said,
Tatsad manye suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna diyam asadrahat Sitvatma patam griham andakupam vanam gato yadharima ashrayeta.
O king of the asuras, the best thing I have learned from my teachers is that any person who has accepted a temporary material body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety, because such a person has fallen into a deep and dark well which has no water and can provide no shelter. One should give up this position immediately and enter the forest, where one should meditate on Sri Vishnu and accept him as one's only refuge. In Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to this verse, he tells one story from the Puranas to elucidate this particular point. Down narrow jungle paths once tread a prince upon his royal steed, in search of game, his bow held ready. His anxious horse he tried to steady. A lion's sudden piercing roar gave the prince's heart a jolt. It caused the prince's horse to bolt and threw the prince onto the floor. On jungle floor, the prince could hear the lion's footsteps coming near. He thought of all he held most dear and ran for life in utter fear. Terror-stricken, out of breath, the prince saw not a disused well, and into this abyss he fell. By providence, it has been told, the prince was able to catch hold of two branches of a tree that supported a nest of bees. Now holding on with all his might, the prince looked down with sudden fright, for down below were 1,000 asps waiting for him to lose his grasp. The prince considered his sorry plight. With roaring felines still up high, he'd simply have to hang on tight. But now his problems multiplied. Two rats, one black, one white, he saw, had steadily begun to gnaw through the branches that held him high. Now he knew he was sure to die. But something touched the prince's lips. At once, so sweet and worth his while. Honey from the tree above, the hapless prince began to smile. Although a man about to die, the prince now cast his woes aside. And while a fool, I must confide, is no more foolish than you or I. This particular story from the Purana is a parody of life, a parody of the human condition. We are that prince. We make our way through life, which is like a jungle inhabited by fierce and dangerous beasts. The king is...
What are they?
The king of the beasts, the lion, is death itself. And the other animals and beasts are the various problems that one faces in life. The prince is out hunting, and in the same way, in life, we look for the pleasure of making our mark in life, careless of the suffering of other living entities. The king of the beasts is the lion, which represents death, and which lurks in the jungle. Sometimes we catch a glimpse of death, or we hear its call, and very frightened, we run away, and it pursues us all the while. Thinking we're the hunters, we make our way through the forest, but very quickly we see that we're actually the hunted. The prince then stumbles into a disused well, which is a well that hasn't been used for such a long time that grass has covered it, and it's very difficult to see. And falling into that well, it's very difficult to come out again. And this prince can find no water in this well. There is no nourishment. It provides no shelter, no refuge, but is simply a deadly trap. And this well represents household life. As the prince falls, he catches hold of two branches. These branches represent our attachments in this world. We each have various attachments. Most especially, strongest of all, is our attachment to children, husband and wife, family members, relatives. Clinging on to these, the prince is in a predicament. Above him lurks death, waiting. Down below are thousands of dangerous, poisonous insects and snakes. What are they? They are the fruits of our past deeds, our past misdeeds, any harm that we've caused to other living entities. That harm comes back to us. Those living entities are there waiting to take revenge. And these are those poisonous snakes. The prince holds on for dear life. This is called the hard struggle for material existence. Two rats are slowly eating away at the two branches that hold him high. One is black and one is white, and they represent daytime and nighttime. In other words, the gradual, relentless movement of time, which in the end takes away everything from the living entity in material life. Then, to the prince's surprise, he finds some honey that touches his lips. Just a few small drops of honey. These drops of honey represent the pleasure that one finds in this world, temporary, flickering, mixed with pain. He's hanging on, working so hard, holding on so tightly in suffering. And a few drops of pleasure completely bewilder him. And he forgets the plight, he forgets the predicament that he's in. This is called ignorance, or the willful ignoring of reality. As the prince hangs there, holding on to these two branches, he's lost everything, and he's sure to die. He's sure to hold, to keep, he won't be able to take anything that he's with, that he has with him. Everything will be lost, and he, and although he's in the most dangerous type of predicament, he's completely, he becomes completely oblivious to it. These are the teachings of Sri Prahlad Maharaj in this verse. And Sri Prahlad says, one should give up this condition at once, without any hesitation or delay, and at once go to Sri Vrindavan Dham. This is the meaning of forest, and there one should take complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One step of
hearing this from his son, he began to laugh and told him, why stop it? Your guru, Sandamar, have you taught these teachings to Prahlad? Never, never, we don't do. So who came to his school? Narad? Or any devotees? You should God. Keep a God. That any devotee of Supreme Lord Krishna, Vishnu, they should not enter in that area of his school. And then he ordered that, again you should take Prahlad and teach very good Sham, Dham, Dand, Vidhi, politics, diplomacy, how to control subjects and other things, to conquer whole this, to be very powerful like me. Then they took away this school. After 4 or 5 months, again, Mother Kayadu decorated his son, her son, and took in the lap of his father. He was very happy to see his son and asked again the same question, what have you learned from your school, from your guru? And then what he replied, Sajjan Maharaj will explain.
So, upon being asked by his father, great king of the Asuras, Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj, with folded hands, began to speak. Sadhanam Kirtanam Vishnu.
What now that play?
Sadhanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Smaranam Parasevanam Arsanam Bandham Satyam Atmanin Vedinam. Prahlad Maharaj said,
what is this?
You said more, but I don't know that.
You don't remember that. No. This is from Sarsita. This is from Shavu.
So he says that hearing and chanting, remembering about the Supreme Lord continuously, Lord Maharaj is also the personification of remembering Krishna. Later we'll hear how he'll be put in so many different situations, being punished by his father and tormented and trying to be killed. And Prahlad Maharaj is the example of always remembering Smarana, the Supreme Lord. So, Saranam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, hearing remembering about the Supreme Lord, Parasevanam, rendering service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Also, Parasevanam means traveling on pilgrimage, like twice a year we go on Parikram, on Kartik Vaishpanda Parikram. All the devotees are invited to attend very nice festival during Kartik Vrat, accompanied by Srila Gurudev, traveling on foot, barefoot, to all the different vanas before us. Previously it was quoted that Vlad Maharaj told that one should go to the forest and there take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So on the Vaishnava Parikram is a very nice opportunity. All the devotees can engage in this process of Parasevanam, traveling on Parikram, going to the different holy places, Krishna's pastime, touch the dust of Krishna's leela, and hear from the mouth of Srila Gurudev the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord, and get so much impressions established there in the heart. Archanam bandham satyam atmanivedanam. Archanam means the process of archana. It is also one of the limbs of bhajan. Archan, deity worship. And offering prayers is also a great part of deity worship. To serve the Supreme Lord and engage in so many different offerings. Mold one's life. The householders especially should put the deity in the center of the household. Not thinking that it is their property, but it's simply a gift given to them by the Supreme Lord, and they should use everything in His service. And coming together to offer and offering kirtan, discussing the Lord's name, form, quality, pastimes, his instruction. In this way, purify one's existence. Satyam, become friends of the Lord. Atmanivedanam. Satyam, becoming friendship with the Lord. Pridam Sarvabhutanam. Supreme Lord is everyone's friend and well-wisher. We heard the other day that Krishna wants us to come and become back united with Him in the transcendental realm, playing with Him, engaging different activities more than we ourselves can even attempt to imagine. Dasyam, serving the Supreme Lord as a humble servant. Jigar Purpai Krishna Nijidat, the eternally servant of the Supreme Lord. And forgetting that we go through so many trials and tribulations in this world and suffering. Atmani Vedanam is surrendering everything, one's entire consciousness. We spoke the other day about Vamana Day and how Bali Maharaj was the example of surrendering everything. His whole kingdom was taken from him. And not knowing where else to put the Lord's foot, Bali Maharaj said, "You please place your foot on my head." So he offered everything, and then although the body is not oneself, he even offered that also to the Supreme Lord as Vamana did. So, in this way, by performing these processes of devotional service, the nine processes of devotional service, of which kirtanam is the complete process of all the other nine limbs of bhakti. These are very powerful, and the process of kirtan includes all process. One engaged in deep bhajan, engaged in the main knowledge of the Lord, his form, his pastimes, and his activities, and thus purify one's existence.
Thank you. That is can I explain something more? It is also such a kind of a thing that he has only left for you. Maybe you left. Discussing the qualities of Uttama Bhakta, Srila Maharaj. Srila Sajan Maharaj has explained about Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. And he has given a wonderful presentation how we can engage our senses and our body, our heart's desires in these different services. Srila Maharaj is telling, Ankita, Vishnu, Bhakti Chet, Nava Lakshana, Kriyato Bhagavati, Nava, Sangmana, Uttamam. So Srila Mahatma is telling that anyone who engages in these nine processes, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the best knowledge which is available. His father, hearing this from his son, he became furious, very, very angry. What is this? He's telling. Who is teaching you this? At once, he became very upset with the teacher, Sangana Marga. He called and he says, what are you teaching him? I never told you to teach him about Vishnu, who is the enemy of all the demons like me. Who is this Vishnu? My son, he's being spoiled by the enemy. Previously to this, Hiranyakasipu has made a vow that he will kill Vishnu. And now we see that it is coming closer and closer to a personal confrontation with Vishnu. Why? Because now Hiranyakasipu is terrorizing his own little son, only 5 years old, telling him that Vishnu is the enemy. And Palamaras is telling, no, you're wrong, Dad. He is our Lord. He is the Lord of all, and if you worship him, you'll be happy. You'll be free from all your anxieties. Don't worry. But Hiranyakasipu, he cannot hear because he's so much intoxicated with his own position, so much proud that he is the Lord of the whole universe. He has received his benediction from Lord Brahma that he can master and control the whole universe, receiving all the mystic powers, to terrorize everyone. In order to do what? To kill Vishnu. Why? Because Vishnu had killed his own brother, Hiranyaksha. At that time, Hiranyakasipu became so angry and vowed that I will kill Vishnu. So now his own very son, 5 years old, he is a devotee of Vishnu. Can you imagine? He was very, very angry. So then, Prabhupada Maharaj, he continued, he said to his father, trying to make him understand his position. Matirna Krishna Parataksatova Mito Vipatyate Driha Vratanam Adanta Gaudir Vistanta Mishram Punas Charvita Charvananam.
Thank you. Then father became now angry, hearing the reply of Prahlad Maharaj and Kirtana. Never think. Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, nine limbs of bhakti are not bhakti if they are not first offered to me. Gurudev is also Bhagavan. Ashtray Bhagavan. So Krishna will not accept their Samanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaran. False ego and so many things will come. So first go to Gurudev, who is qualified, is bona fide Guru, has some realization of Krishna, and he is detached from what we desire and attraction. Go at once to them if you want to be helped. And then surrender yourself. And then hearing from him, and then Kirtanam, Dham Shravanam, and others. So Prahlad has done this. Of hearing this, Prahlad, Hiranyakasipu become very angry. He threw out Prahlad from him. Shandava, come on. What you have thought, my son? Not duplicity, no politics, nothing. What is that? I will have to punish it. He told, requested, Prabhu, we have not done
नहीं कर दे कि पालो हम बता भाई नेचुरल नेचुरली ही स्टडी ऑल दिस आई हैव नॉट टोल्ड ऑल दिस एंड ही टर्न टू प्रहलाद महाराज हिरण्यकश्यप फाउंड ऑफ हु टॉट यू हु टॉट यू दीज गुरुज आर हु एंड देन प्रहलाद महाराज three strokes.
Om Jagatimurandasam Jarandaslakya Takshuranvaratam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
At that moment, Hiranyakashipu being very angry, he asked his son, O Prahlad, from whom have you learned these things? Prahlad replied, Vatena Krishnai Parthosatova Mitobi Padeta Vihabratanam Adantago Vira Chatamtanisham Punapuna Chavra Savananam. Meaning is, Vatena Krishnai Parthosatova, how can this spontaneous attraction of the heart, of the consciousness towards the lotus feet of Krishna come about? Parthosatova, someone cannot develop this attraction by themselves. Someone cannot develop this attraction by taking the help of others or by a combination of the both. By their own attempt or by the attempts of others, no one's mind can be fixed upon the lotus feet of Krishna. How does it come about? Those who, they are averse to Krishna, they don't remember him, they're called Griha Bratanam. They've made a very strong vow to be in Griha, in the bodily conception of life. I am this physical body, this is my wife, my children, my land, my mother, father. And in this way, they have a false conception of their own identity. Those persons who have such a false conception of themselves, misidentifying the soul with the physical body, and the paraphernalia connected with the physical body to be the paraphernalia of the soul, what happens to them? Adanta Govirvishatamtamishram. Their Govirvish is their senses. They are out of control. They cannot control their senses. And therefore, they are dragged here and there by the impulses of their senses into different types of selfish, materialistic enjoyments. And what happens? Being attached to sense gratification, their consciousness gradually becomes more and more degraded until they sink down into the darkest regions of hellish suffering in this world. And how are they passing their time? Purapuras chavata chavananam. They madly engage in chewing that which has already been chewed. What does it mean? Acharyas have given an example. Once there was a dog. And the dog in the street found a bone. This bone was completely dry. It was completely dry. It had been chewed many times by other dogs. There was no taste in it at all. But he was thinking, maybe there's some taste in this bone. So he came and he began chewing and chewing and sucking and trying to get some flavor out of the bone. But nothing was coming. But anyway, perhaps if he kept going, perhaps some flavor will come. So he carried on chewing and sucking. In the meantime, a few other dogs on the street saw that he was chewing on his bone and said, hey, why should he chew on the bone? We should chew on the bone. Then a big pack of dogs surrounded him and they all began. One was biting his arm, his four legs, his back leg, his tail. They were biting him everywhere. And he was bleeding and he was in so much pain. But he would not let go of the bone. This is my bone. And everyone was biting him and biting him. Finally the pain became so intense, he couldn't go on anymore. And he screamed and the bone came from his mouth. Then all those dogs who had been biting him, they stopped biting him and they jumped on the bone. Then, the dog who caught the bone in his mouth, all the other dogs began to bite him. And they were chewing him up and he began to feel pain. Then he dropped the bone, then another dog took it. In the meantime, the original dog, he was sitting on the sidelines and he was watching the whole thing. And he was seeing how whichever dog had the bone in his mouth, all the other dogs were chewing him up and giving him so much pain. But now he is feeling, okay, some relief, because he let go of the bone. So this is called Puna Puna Chavata Chavananam, chewing the truth. Who is that dog? This is an analogy to illustrate the life
of the living entities in this world who are attached to sense gratification. What are they doing? They think that in this world, by having a very good education, and after that, having a very excellent job and position in society, and a very, very first-class wife and beautiful children, and a very good insurance policy and pension plan and everything. In this way, from beginning to end, if their life is all made out very, very nicely, then they will enjoy it. This is called curing the truth. Why? Because their father did it, their grandfather did it, their great-grandfather did it, their great-great-grandfather did all of these things, and did any of them ever find happiness? They never found any happiness. All were harassed by so many miseries. Miseries can attacking the body, such as disease. Miseries attacking the mind, such as the very many psychological problems and emotional dysfunctions. And also, miseries caused by other living entities, their own family members even, and enemies and others. So even though they tried to enjoy all of these things, what happened? They only got suffering, they grew old, they became diseased, and then they died. Their life was a complete failure. Just like the dog who completely failed to suck any juice out of the bone. But even though that dog was suffering and had no flavor, no happiness, when he let go of the bone, another dog took up the same bone and tried the same thing and failed again. Then another dog again took up the bone and failed again. So the living entities are like this. One person tries to enjoy life, and this policy of materialism fails. And he dies, and then the next generation takes up the same method, and then they die, and they tell their children, oh, you should grow up and be like me. Suffering miserably. But they'll not tell suffering miserably. So one after another, this is called chewing that which has already been chewed. But when the dog let go of the bone and sat by the side, then he felt some relief, and he saw. He could not realize before the situation, but when he let go, that means when he became detached from his own sense gratification, he looked and then he could see, oh, all these other dogs are quite mad. So in the same way, those who will give up the pursuit of sense gratification, only then when they look, they can see, oh, in this world, everyone is quite mad. They're trying to find happiness where there is no happiness, and they're suffering again and again. And even though they see others failing, they never think that they will fail. And then they pass on that to their children and their children's children. And in this parampara, the misery descends throughout all the generations of the world. This is what is going on. So Prahlad Maharaj, he describes this. So then Hiranyakashipu became very angry. He said, oh, okay. So you think that I am like this? That I am a fool? And my guru, Shuka Acharya, he is also a fool? And all our dynasty, we are all fools. Is this your opinion?
And you are very intelligent.
And you think that you are so smart? Being a little boy with no experience at all? So then Prahlad Maharaj, he gave an answer to this interrogation coming from his father. He said, Nate vidu chwa tagati mi vishnu dura sayaye bahi asamanina andaya sandal upariyamana teji chatam sam uru bhaktam nibadha. Nate vidu chwa tagati mi vishnu dura sayaye. Those who are durashaya, they have many materialistic desires, many worldly ambitions. They don't understand their swartha, their shortening's own benefits. What is their real self-interest? People think that to develop the immaturity is a self-interest. No. Na te vidu swartha gatim hi vishnam. Those who have materialistic ambitions cannot understand that their real self-interest lies in the happiness of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot strive individually for happiness. When you try to give happiness to the Supreme Lord, automatically our soul, being part and parcel of God, becomes overjoyed. And this is a great benefit for all living entities. So Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, those are materialistic ambitions. They don't understand their own self-interest is the service of Vishnu. So what do they do? Andaya Sandaru Niyamana. They're like a blind person. And that blind person, they're following another blind person. So when a blind person is leading a group of blind people, they're holding on to each other. The man at the front doesn't know where to go, and the ones behind feel very comfortable and secure, holding on to him, thinking we're all being led in the right direction. But what happens? The blind man at the front, he gets lost, wanders off the road, and falls headfirst into a ditch.
And all the others holding on to him with great confidence, they also follow him and fall headfirst into the same ditch.
Mm-hmm.
So Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, those persons who have accepted as an authority or a guru in their life, another person who is blind as they are. Who is blind? That person who cannot see the beautiful smiling face of Shyama Sundar. Hmm? That person who cannot behold the beautiful Sri Vigraha, Sri Radha and Krishna, that person is blind. So if a person who is blind has accepted as a guru or a teacher or an authority, a role model in his life, another person who is blind like he is, who cannot perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead due to the absence of devotion in his heart, then what will happen? He is following a blind person, following another blind person, and they all fall into the ditch, being very tightly bound together by Urudamni Bhadra, the ropes of fruitive action. In this world, all living entities are tightly bound by the ropes of their karma. According to the activities that we have done in the past, in this life, our destiny is unfolding, and we cannot receive any more or less than the fruit of the karma that we have performed before. So all are very tightly bound by the ropes of karma and going towards a very ignorant and miserable destination. So then Prahlad Maharaj, he explains the only solution to that problem. What is the solution to these problems of life? How can this ignorance be overcome? He says, Naisam matistha vadarukamangrim Prishyam jatnata padamayatata Mahiyasam padara jobhishekam Miskinsenanam nabrinita javat. The living entity is covered by ignorance. He doesn't know who am I. And he has many, many desires.